I say that all to say, left to my own vices, I'm going to misstep in life and lead myself astray. And so I am in desperate need of some help. And so I want to talk about a spiritual help for us this morning. We've been in this series talking about unplugging from things during the season of Lent. And we want to transition now this morning into plugging into some things. So Mary started off this series that we are grafted into the vine with God. We are plugged into the power source, which is Jesus. And doing so will require him to remove some stuff from our lives that hinder us, that will cause harm and destruction to us. We need to allow him to remove those things. And so during this season of Lent, we sacrifice, we choose sometimes to choose into sacrifice, fasting or giving up something, and then replacing that with time spent with God. And so we talked about fasting, and last week we talked about solitude or separating ourselves from all the chaos and putting ourselves in position to hear from God. This morning I want to transition us a little bit into aligning the things up with God as we press into him being our power source, what that looks like as we engage with him purposely during this time. So this morning, plugged in to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be in John chapter 14. So if you want to grab John chapter 14, or you can just listen along, I want to set the stage for us. John 14 to 17 is an interaction with Jesus and his disciples the night before he gave his life for you and for me. So John 14 to 17. So he's sitting with the disciples. At the beginning of the chapter, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's literally claiming to be God, and the only way to get to God the Father is through him, through Jesus' life. He goes on to say, whoever believes in me will do what I'm doing and do even more than what I'm doing. He's referring to the power of the Holy Spirit that he allowed to flow through him to do all kinds of amazing things to lead people to the Father. He has just washed the disciples' feet leading into this scenario, modeling service and sacrifice. And we come to verse 15. We're going to be in 15 this morning. Verse 15 of John chapter 14 before we get started here. So find John 14, 15 if you would, or just listen along as I read. I'm going to read verses 15 to 21 to start. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Before we go any further, let me just pray for us so this isn't just something we hear this morning, it's something that transforms us. Lord Jesus, I pray as we continue this morning that all the distractions of this week would be silenced. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak truth, that our minds would comprehend, that our souls would receive, that our lives would be transformed by your presence and power here this morning. I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. He starts off by saying here, "If you love me, keep my commands." And if you simply walk through everything that Jesus has said up to this point, it could be boiled down into one simple phrase: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. If you take the Ten Commandments and you boil them down into two, it's love God, love others. All the commands that Jesus said revolve around those things. Your relationship with God, growing in your relationship with God, and then allowing that to affect everyone that you come in contact with. So I believe this to be true, this statement here. We cannot say, "I love Jesus. I just don't want him to tell me how to live my life." That doesn't work. We can't say, "I love Jesus," and then not allow him access in our life. If we believe that he is the Son of God, we can't say we love him and then say, hey, I love you, Jesus. I just don't want you to impact or change me in any way, shape, or form. Those statements don't align at all. So before we go any further, if you love me, keep my commands. It's simple. And all his commands, as I said, loving God, loving others, revolve around really your protection. Your protection from yourself and from yourself hurting others. We often don't like to be told what to do. But what if somebody who created you and knows you, everything about you, understands everything about you, wants a relationship with you, and knows that there are things that will harm you, and then in return you will harm others? What if we yielded to him and didn't allow those to take place? So he's referred to here first as Jesus says, I will give you the advocate. This is really loaded, the concept here. The advocate, one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a helper, a comforter, one who gives help and strength, a counselor and intercessor. All those things are wrapped up in the original word that's used here, advocate. And then he says the Spirit of Truth. The third person in the Trinity, who Francis Chan called the forgotten God. We're really good about talking about God the Father and really good about the Son, but the Holy Spirit seems a little weird to me. I want to give us maybe some practical aspects this morning of what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes he's referred to as the Holy Ghost. And there's some really fun stories and sayings and songs that even mention that. The reality is, though, that is completely false because he is not dead, he's alive. So he cannot be a ghost. He is living. That's why he is the Holy Spirit. Notice that personal pronouns are used. So he is a person. He's not an it, he's not a thing. He is a person who wants to be present in your life. And I love this. Jesus says, he will help you and be with you forever. Literally, God wants to give his Spirit to you to walk with you forever. Therefore, no matter how alone you ever feel in your life, you are not alone. That's why the psalmist David in 139 said, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the far side of the sea, you are there. Even darkness is as light to you. You are never alone when you invite Jesus in your life and he gives you the Holy Spirit forever. He meant it. He means it. He still means it. You're never alone. No matter what life throws at you, no matter what kind of nonsense comes in your life, I said this before, like my go-to phrase used to be, God still sits on the throne. Jesus is up on his throne. He loves us. He cares about us. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is with us, present in whatever crap we find ourselves in. He hasn't abandoned us. Whatever situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, the Holy Spirit is present. We can't see him, and that seems foreign to almost anybody that you talk to, but then this key little phrase that comes next, I will not leave you as orphans. You'll never be alone. He presses into this. Because I live, you then will live. And then he repeats the phrase that was said at the beginning part there. If you keep my commands and love me, I will show myself to you if you keep those commands. There are no perfect analogies when you're trying to explain the Holy Spirit, but I love the concept of a car. I was driving here this morning, and I've got an automatic car, so I've got two pedals, power and a brake, and I don't have to make the car do anything. I don't have to use my foot power to get anywhere. All I have to do is press on the power and allow it to drive my vehicle. And guess what? When danger comes, as often happens, especially here in Nyack, it's nice and sunny, and I'm coming to an intersection in Main Street, and I have a green light, and there's a red light, and I see a cyclist coming down the hill. And I'm thinking, well, surely he sees the red light, and he's going to stop right in front of me. Now, guess what? I have an option. I have an option to use at my what's at my disposal. There's a brake and power, right? If I push on the power, I'm going to cause harm. If I push on a brake, I'm literally saving this guy's life who's making a stupid mistake. And the reality is the Holy Spirit present with us gives us both power and then also the opportunity to stop us from causing harm to ourselves or to others. And I'm super thankful for that, because if it was up to me all the time, there would be no pedals. Let's continue. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 22 to 26 is this. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and will welcome to them, and we will welcome to them and make our home in them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." So first, Judas, not Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is the one who betrays Jesus, offers Jesus up to the religious leaders to be put on the cross and died. There's another Judas that was following Jesus, and this guy asks a very practical question. It sounds like, Jesus, you're saying you're making yourself available to us, but not the world. And Jesus is saying, no, anyone who loves me and obeys my commands, I will share with them the gift of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we will make our home in them. I know this is a little confusing. The triune God, or the three persons of the Trinity, is very difficult for our minds to comprehend. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one being entity who desires a relationship with us. The easiest way really to explain it is the Father sends his Son to restore our relationship back to the Father by giving us the Holy Spirit to remind us of the Father. And it goes and goes and goes and goes. In verse 26, again, it says, the Advocate, and here's the first time Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit. That word spirit means breath or wind, because once again, it was hard for them to understand or explain. How do I explain this thing we cannot see, but we know is present? Well, wind or breath. We can't see it, but we know it's there. And this one is holy. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said. I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you. He will teach you everything that you need to know and remind you of the things that I have said. Yesterday, we took my nieces to the zoo. We love the zoo. We're members of the Bronx Zoo, and we go as often as we can. And we were down at the Bronx Zoo, and I'm really wishing we would have gone on Thursday or Friday when it was like 70 degrees, but we went on Saturday when it was like almost 50 and windy and a little bit cold, if I'm not going to lie. We sat down at lunch to eat, and we ate in the picnic tables underneath the canopy, and the reality was the sun did not reach us, and the wind was blowing through, so even though we were sitting there in our coats, we were still cold, and the wind was a gentle reminder of this, and it made us colder and colder and colder, and everything inside of us as adults were going, let's eat as soon as possible so we can get back out there in the sun, where it's a little bit warmer. The Holy Spirit, when we are in a place that is not good or conducive to us, to our lives, will encourage us back in the presence of the Son, where warmth and the things that we need and are necessary for us are present. This is both practical and real and somewhat mysterious, and I love it all. Let's continue. John chapter 14. We'll wrap up the passage here. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what the Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Now first, he starts off with this wrapping up the section, peace I leave with you. And I love this word peace in the original language. The context is the state of national tranquility, or better yet, in the context of a relationship with God, the tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, of whatsoever sort that is. When you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, your soul is tranquil. You are as you ought to be, and there is peace. I do not give as the world gives. The things that the world gives to you is wanting your destruction. I heard this again this week, and every time I hear it, there's an agitation in my soul. Maybe you've heard this before. It says, God will not give you more than you can handle. How many of you ever heard that before? God won't give you more than you can handle. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's no, you will find that nowhere in Scripture. This, I believe, is more better fit with reality. The broken world gives you more than you can handle. This world will give you more than you can handle every single day. It's not God's fault. But in the midst of all that, therefore, God gives you himself through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to handle what happens in your world. God is not sitting up on his throne, making a list and checking it twice, trying to find out who's naughty or nice. That is not the God that I'm speaking of this morning at all. This world will give you more than you can handle almost every single day of your life. God wants to give you his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with you through it. He continues, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. There is literally nothing to fear because I'm with you. And then if you love me, I'm with you. I will restore your relationship back with the Father. And then he mentions the prince of this world, the enemy of our soul, the devil, with a gentle reminder. I'm willingly about to offer up my life. The enemy of your soul thinks he's won. I'm about to offer up my life for the world so that your relationship with God the Father can be restored. The enemy thinks he's won, but he has no hold over me. I'm willingly giving my life for you, disciples, and everyone who comes after you. He's got no hold, no control. We do this thing here at Living Christ Church called healing prayer, where we help people, where we pray with people, remove blocks and barriers to their relationship with God. Oftentimes throughout our lives, all kinds of stuff can happen that can hinder our relationship with God. It could be another believer who harms you, or somebody who harms you, or unhealthy patterns that have built up in your life. And we all the times encourage people to get proper counseling. Sometimes in the counseling session, you'll hit some kind of a wall. And so we have counselors refer people to us, say, hey, can you help this person break through? There's something blocking. We help them remove that block or barrier and then go back to counseling and continue their work. A couple weeks ago, we were meeting with a girl. And one of my favorite things is at the end of the session, after we have helped the person remove the block or barrier to their relationship with God, we ask God to speak. We believe that God still speaks in it through his word and through his Spirit. We believe he speaks. And so we asked the Holy Spirit to speak to this young lady. And I said when I started that our relationship with the Holy Spirit is both practical and somewhat mysterious and powerful. And as we were praying with this woman, we asked her and we asked the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to her. We asked God to speak and give her pictures and words of affirmation of his love for her. And as God is my witness, I thought she started sharing that with us. I could have sworn she was talking, her mouth was moving, and she was telling us what the Holy Spirit was saying to her. And so I just simply responded to what I thought she was already saying to us. And then all of a sudden, the girl's eyes got really large, and she said, "How did you know?" "What do you mean, how did I know? You just said to me what was going on in your mind." And Mary Alice, who was leading the prayer session, goes, "Jeff, no, she didn't. She didn't open her mouth. She didn't say anything. How did you know? The Holy Spirit was giving me the same images and the same words that this woman was hearing in her mind. This is reality. God the Father sent his Son to die for you and for me, and then gave us his Holy Spirit with presence and power. That power source is not mine alone. I am not powerful. The Holy Spirit is. I didn't know any of that apart from the Holy Spirit. He both gives us practical aspects of how to walk with him in a daily life and the miraculous when we need it to prove that he's speaking to us. So I close with our third value. Our third value here at Living Christ Church is we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus changes everyone through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We will choose into this ongoing process, believing that every change God initiates in you is good. It's our third value. We will love God. We will love NAC. We will listen to God. We will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. We will invest in people. Those are our four values. The third one lines up with what I'm saying this morning. We believe that Jesus changes everyone. Anybody who comes in physically into Living Christ Church or follows us online, we believe that there is some starting point at which you are on in that journey. And we ask everyone who joins in to allow the God of the universe to change them. Not us, not what we say, him. So my simple question I believe we need to ask this morning is, will we let him? Will you trust God with your life? Will you give the Holy Spirit control of your life? Are you willing to do so? Essentially, are you willing to ask for help from the Helper? Man, guys, we struggle with this one. We do. I remember growing up getting lost all the time and my mom going, "Would you please just stop and ask for help?" "No, we'll find our way." There is nothing wrong with asking help from your Creator. He knows every single thing about you, down to every single hair on your head and the one that just fell out. He loves you, cares about you. Will you let him help you in this life? He wants to be present, but we need to yield and allow him to be so. So if that is your desire this morning, let's join me in saying this simple prayer. It doesn't have to be wordy and crazy. It can be very simple. It's a simple yielding to God who created you. That's your desire this morning. Respond with me. If you're not ready to yield control to God, it's all right. It is okay. If you are ready this morning, let's say the simple prayer. One, two, 3. Holy Spirit, I yield control of my life over to you. Teach me and use me. I trust you. Amen. Let me pray that into you. Lord Jesus, for those who prayed that prayer, there's nothing magical about that statement or that prayer. In and apart from you. So Holy Spirit, I ask those who desire for you to be present in their lives, to give power, to instruct, to teach, to guide, to shape, to stop. Holy Spirit, may that prayer be true. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.